I first joined Krishna consciousness as Bhakti Jan in New York Temple, and I was basically just trying to find reasons why I shouldn't join. And I was studying different devotees and studying situations, and I thought, I'm not going to join this institution. And then when I had a chance to meet Rukmini, watched her, she talked to me a few times, and I thought, oh, yes, I should join the society. Rukmini Devi Dasi Ji. So if you have trouble with my presentation or my presence, you'll get on her case, okay? She's one of the devotees who helped to keep me in this institution. Being that today is Mother's Day, and I'm always trying to find ways to advertise, we're going to, at the end, because we may not have time, we're going to move really quick to this course. I'm going to give a 5-day course in an hour and a half. I got a whole package of 25 different courses I've been giving around the world. Most of them are 4 to 6 days. So we're going to go a little quick, but hopefully the major themes we'll be able to ascertain. But because of that, I'll probably forget things at the last end of the course, the last few minutes. We have a whole gamut of books here, and we're having a Mother's Day sale. Is that... All the mothers can get the books at a 50% discount. and if you are buying for a mother as a present, or a daughter, or you want to give to some other special Mataji, you can also get the book for 50%. All right? So, first, I think most of you have attended one of my courses somewhere. There's three major things about the courses that I give, at least 90% of them. Everyone has to participate. Otherwise, it won't have sufficient collective or individual value. That means when somebody is discussing something, then we beg upon you to reflect on it for what it means to your family, what it means to our institution, and what it means to you. If we're reading something, if somebody's sharing something, if I'm presenting something, because you are the teacher. Second point, I'm just the facilitator. The third point is that we will deal more with discussion. According to modern educators, we know in earlier ages, people had tremendous ability to hear, to remember, and to use whatever they heard for transformation or in some productive way. In Kali Yuga, our memories are dull. Our ability often to apply something, to have vigyan instead of gyan, is very difficult, complex. So according to modern educators, or whatever they're worth, most times, unless it's some kind of document or some type of prescription, that we usually learn and remember and retain about 10% of what we read. 20% of what we hear. 30% of what we see. 50% of what we see and hear. About 70% of what we discuss. 80% of what we participate in. And about 90% of what we teach. So we're going to focus more on the last three: discussion, participation, and most important, teaching. So we ask you to do the dyad, to talk to partner next to you. Take advantage of it. When you have a chance to share something, we want you all to learn from it. And the last thing is, these courses are cheating, because really, I learn so much from them, more than what I give and what I teach. So now, what this course is going to deal with is, we could call this course Shraddha or Faith, or Dridha Vrata, Determined Faith. We're going to kind of amalgamate trust and faith together. Now, there is a difference, because you can have faith in someone and not trust them. You can have general faith in the background about a person, about a specific or general concerns, but still not trust them, because you don't feel that they're competent, or it may be a lack of trust and faith. But the faith, of course, is much deeper. We're going to kind of merge them together, Why? Because first we realize that our whole progression in Krishna consciousness is based on the quality of our faith. We know Shatrua Vedha, Bhajante Imam, Gyanasakirtino Arjuna. Four types of people join Krishna consciousness. And of those four types, who are somehow most fortunate that they say yes to transcendence, there's still three different categories of people based on their faith. The major difference between a Kanishka, Arika, a Madhyam, and a Uttama is based on faith. Now we know that blind faith produces blind, incoherent activities, frustration, anxiety, gloom, and defeat. But faithlessness paralyzes us, and as you are going to teach us, causes all kinds of problems to the individual, to the family, and to the institution. So, when we had the centennial, Bert Ruckford did this survey. And those of you who know statistics or psychology or sociology know that surveys can tell a lot of things, and surveys can lie, and surveys can present a lot of prejudice and biases. But surveys also can give us amazing indicators. And as devotees were interviewed all around the world about what was their major concern, issue, or disappointment about Krishna conscious institution as it is today, the number one thing that they were bothered with was a lack of trust in leadership, a lack of trust in devotees. If we have faith in Krishna and not faith in devotees, our Krishna consciousness will be very, very incomplete, not wholesome, and we'll probably even fall down at some point. If we have faith in devotees, we do not have faith in Krishna, then we're also going to be lacking. Because we are to be able to be energized by the carriers of the Shastra. We are to be able to have living examples of the Shastra to be able to have deep, deep realization, commitment that are long-lasting. We can say that the biggest problem in the world is not impersonalism, it's not voyeurism, it's not gross materialism, it's not crime, it's not resource depletion, it's not religious fanaticism, it's not racism, it's not tribalism, it's not drugs. The greatest problem in the world is the lack of spiritual potency. The greatest problem in the world is when those, especially the brahmanas, who are the caretakers of the theology, when they lose, or when they are no longer authentic, or when they lose some of their potency, or when they lose faith in the spiritual legacy, they start changing things, they start acting with deviation, and they produce a subculture. So it all has to do with active sadhus whose life is a message, and it has to do with what Krishna and his nitya siddhas have given us. So both things are important. So we're going to look at more faith and trust understanding of devotees, as well as how to have more faith and trust in Krishna. Now first I want to read something, one or two short verses. I want you to give us the purport. Listen close to the verse we're reading. We want a few of you just to share what this means to you. The first read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 40. Agnascharat hananascha samsayatma vinasyati nayam lokasti na paro nasukam samsayatmanaha. Okay, listen to the English translation. We have three mics here. I have one. There's a mic here, Krishnamandini has, a mic that he has. So when you want to share something, you raise your hand, and they're going to dash to you with the mic. So we want one or two of you to give a purport for what this means to you, while we're asking everybody to reflect on it with your own purport. You know the verse, what you remember from what Peter Prabhupada has given. Both ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is no happiness, neither in this world nor in the next. Let me read it one more time. Let me share what this means to you. Both ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Who would like to start off? Okay, there's a hand here. If you should stand, please stand. He's going to bring the mic to you. It may be easier for you to come out to him. He doesn't need. Who else would like to share next? Okay, can you run back there with the mic? Please. Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Next. We see that when something is very important to us, we have faith, we can have this dhrha vrataha. We can be very determined. As a matter of fact, someone is always having faith, you know, in something. But we have to look closer and see how can we intensify our own authentic, genuine faith. Because breaking through the modes of material nature cannot be done extemporaneously, haphazardly, cannot be done unless there is intensity. Yesterday when I asked Jayadeva, 2 days ago, that question about Divya Mata, divine madness, is that one is and will be mad. We're either going to be mad for sense gratification, where we're just constantly being dragged and controlled and beat by the Vegas, or we're going to be mad based on what the possibilities are, what we're already experiencing, we want more of that. We're going to be mad for Krishna, and agitating our minds how to serve Krishna, or we're going to be mad and agitate in our mind being agitated by our senses and how to serve the culture of sense gratification. Now, listen to this one, and similar, we want a few of you to share. This is Bhagavad Gita 4:42. Tasmat ajnanasam bhutam kriti stam janasi nat manaha chaivanam samsayam yogam ati shoshdishta bharata. Translation. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in our heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Let me read it again. Let's hear from you.
Therefore,
the doubts which have arisen in your hearts out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So, what does this purport, what does this verse mean to you? If you can stand if you don't mind. Who else would like to share? Anyone on this side? We have a mic. Why don't you face them? You're teaching them. Me also, but I can hear.
Instead of getting into them and thinking they're real and part of us and we shouldn't do the services but we can't do it perfectly, I believe what it means is we need to continue to read and study so that we recognize when they arise and immediately fight them off with the information and knowledge we gain through our reading the Srila Prabhupada and just do our duty in spite of those feelings. We just immediately overcome them and move on.
Wonderful. It's like when we're allowing doubts to exist, we can think of three things immediately. We're lazy because we haven't sufficiently scrutinized the Shastra. All the answers are there. And so, because of laziness, there's some way it's manifesting that we're not diving to be able to see what is there, what medicine is available, and how to use it. Two, we can understand that when we're having too much lack of faith or too many doubts, it's a sign that we're not sufficiently appreciating what Krishna has given us, what Prabhupada has made available, because they've surely given us examples. They've given us so many wonderful acharyas, acharyavan, purushal veda, to help us to understand how to think and how to act in any practical situation. And it's important, when we're having too many doubts, it's a sign that we're not merciful. Because there are so few rare souls on this planet who have accepted participation in Krishna consciousness. We know how many souls, billions of souls, who are atheistic, and how many hundreds of millions of souls are just following some basic process of basic dharma, whether it's chala dharma or upa dharma, whatever. But also we know that those who are accepting a personal God is very rare. And so those of us who have somehow been blessed to have this opportunity, and if we don't salvage it, and if we don't share it, in order to share it, we have to make sure more and more that we salvage it and that we're becoming that. Then it means how much we're lacking mercy. Even most in cases, most of our parents, relatives, friends, etc., they're on their way to Yamaraj. Unless we can have sufficient devotion, that can help them, because they can also get credit from us, ourselves. The Bhaktisiddhanta explains, Hare Krishna, that, can you hear me? That when a pure devotee is born, for miles and miles, that people are blessed, like anything. And that, sometimes we hear 10, 100, he says 100 generations can be liberated by the power of an Uttama, who has total faith. But the Uttama has faith, it's not just a matter of speculation, interpolation, is not a matter of conjecture. One has faith because also of experiences. If you have faith and faith something is going to happen, faith and faith in something you're anticipating, and after a while nothing sufficiently is happening, you're going to lose faith. If you have faith that I'm going to give you $10,000, or you're maybe getting ready, that's impossible. If I even have $10. But if you have faith, I'm going to give you $10,000, and I've already given you one or two or 3,000, then your faith is pretty serious, because you realize that I've already delivered and I'll probably, hopefully, deliver the rest. But if we have faith in something and we're not getting sufficient reciprocation, then after a while, our faith will gradually become less and less. See, we don't tell people, and I think we should, in Bhakti 101 or Bhakti 101 class, Bhakti class, we should let people know. This Krishna consciousness is wonderful. It's adventurous. It's challenging. But let me tell you, it is so wonderful that as you are going on year after year, it's going to become more and more difficult. Huh? So get ready. Huh? We should tell people this. Now notice, I didn't say it will become harder, but it will become more difficult. Because normally our advancement is sort of vertical and then it's circuitous. We advance and then we have growth and subtler things to work out. And sometimes we find ourselves at a plateau where we're working something out, and sometimes if we are not having strong enough faith or strong enough healthy sangha, then we will become stagnant or we will procrastinate as we're at a point of working things out. So our sadhu sangha is sadhus coming together to process truth in a victorious way. So as we have a good foundation and maintain faith, then what happens, even though the year after year will become more difficult, we have the tools, we have the spiritual technology to be successful and even more successful. It's natural that in elementary school, primary school, and high school, that you have a certain gradation of knowledge that is not going to be as difficult as that at the university level or postgraduate. You expect that. But now, in cases that is difficult also, you have to be careful. In cases where someone has not had sufficient good foundation, does not keep themselves proper study, proper association, then that which is more difficult becomes overwhelming and even almost impossible to transcend. But where one has learned or has a good foundation, where one is getting sufficient protection, effort is extremely important in Krishna consciousness. But mercy is actually even more important. But mercy is concomitant with effort. Certain quality of effort produces certain quality of mercy. No one, unless you're Nitya Siddha Paramahamsa, can be successful consistently in their Krishna consciousness based on his or her own efforts. Maya has a field day when somebody thinks that based on their intelligence, based on their past experiences, based on whatever, that they can do it themselves. After all, Maya is working for Krishna, and she's pretty good. She knows all the tricks and all the weaknesses. As a matter of fact, she knows exactly where each of us have our greatest weakness, and where we all have our greatest weakness is particularly, categorically, unequivocally, where we are going to be tested by Maya. Somebody's going to attack you where you are the weakest. Without sufficient help, there will be a problem. So the mercy comes in connection with sufficient effort. So we may start thinking how to tackle, let people know when they join our society. The longer you're in this society, the more difficult it's going to become. And if you are proper and you have good foundation and you keep on with sufficient effort, mercy will come. And even though more difficult, you'll be able to stand and fight and be victorious. Yes, please. You can share us.
Whenever you talk about faith, you have to surrender, and that's when faith arrives. Okay? And most of us do not surrender just because of our false ego. And mercy comes only if you forget about false ego. So my point was that most of us are ignorant just because of our egos, which we have to work sometimes with, and it's very hard to let go.
Wonderful. Arrivo. I didn't say false ego because this time last year I gave a whole course on that. In fact, it's one of my 6-day seminars as well. And one of the books we have also addressing false ego. Okay, let's do a quick shift. Now, we look at greater faith, trust, and sadhu. But that means we have to look closer at what constitutes sadhu. And how to recognize, and hopefully how to be such a sadhu ourselves. Just like, for instance, if I ask you this question, I'll ask you this question. Think of the person who you feel you can trust more than anyone else, other than your spiritual master, etc. You know, you just think for a minute. Someone who you have the greatest faith in, the greatest trust in. Again, this is a course everyone has to participate. Now, I want to ask you a second question. And you know, when you think of that person, so many wonderful things happen to you as you reflect on that individual. Like when I was talking about Rukmini, how her presence, what she said, what she did, and she didn't even know me. I was just Bhakti Jan. But how that kind of association is responsible for a person like me standing here now. So when you think of someone who is in your life, or has been in your life, that you have great trust and faith in, you see how it energizes. There's so many things to assist you in so many different ways. But now you also ask yourself, let us all ask ourselves, how many people, in thinking about someone who they have the greatest faith and the most trust in, would be thinking about us? How many people, because creating a greater culture of trust really means also being more trustworthy ourselves. As we are more trustworthy, as we carry a greater bhakti, greater devotion in the process, as our life is more of our actual message, then we impact on the environment. Now, if most people who know us would not consider us as that person who they trust and have the most faith in, then we all have a lot of work that we have to do. All of you, any of you, when you thought of some people who you have most trust in, you didn't think of me. I got a lot of work to do in my relationship with you. I have a lot of work to do in my service to Srila Prabhupada. So that as you think of this devotee, that devotee, or somebody's thinking of you, that it almost spontaneous, you would come in their minds because of what you mean to the community, what you mean to them. We are spiritual warriors. We're all in this together. Every time one person advances, we all are making some advancement somewhat by how that person brings forth more devotion into the environment. Every time a person becomes faithless, every time a person falls down, we all become wounded by how that acts in such a way to assault the culture of trust. And we'll come to that a little bit later about what happens with a low trust culture versus a high trust culture. And in spiritual life, trust and faith, we said, are so important. It determines from a uttama, a majjha, or kanishtha, and it can often determine how we take the medicine that's available. If we don't trust it, we won't take it sufficiently. Now let's look, we do a shift at how each of us joined the Hare Krishna movement. And just take a 20 seconds to reflect on how you specifically joined. And what you will reflect on as you think about this more is really how personal Krishna and sadhus are. Because Krishna himself made very specific arrangements to allow you to say yes. There are millions of people who had maybe some of the same kind of problems or complications you were having in your life, or even some of the same desires, but so many of them did not join. And even those of us who are sitting here, that the way that she joined, the way that he joined, the way that I joined, may be totally different from how you joined or what you needed to be able to come into this movement. Krishna made specific arrangements just for you, so that you could say yes. And if it didn't happen in that way, that specific way, in most cases, it wouldn't have happened. That same Krishna who made those specific arrangements is there to carry us on and on, and ultimately to make an arrangement to bring us back to Him. The very same Krishna. Now, every now and then, and I would suggest yearly, that each of us rejoin the Hare Krishna movement. Just as when you were going to join, based on the arrangement that Krishna had made, there were so many, a whole gamma of all kinds of amalgamated reasons and offerings to entice you not to join. Sometimes from those who are most dear to you, so many circumstances, so many opportunities were there that you could have said yes to instead of Krishna. So just as we initially said yes to Krishna, in spite of all of those other things that were accessible and available, yearly at least, we should also rejoin and remind ourselves, or keep reminding ourselves, that yes, this is trying to take me away, this is trying to be a deterrence, this is trying to bring incoherence, this opportunity is there, but that is behind me, and that I want Krishna in his lifetime. I want you to serve the mission of Prabhupada. Because it's like, in the sense of community, community is like a living entity. Something that has to be constantly revitalized, recreated. We can't just allow it to happen and think it's just going to go on happening. No. There has to be strategy. There has to be arrangement. And so since the mind is so much attacked by the enemies of the mind, and these enemies just waiting for opportunity to take advantage. So from time to time we have to remind ourselves and keep on reinforcing why we're saying yes. Okay, I need your help. I'm talking too much. Remember, I'm not supposed to teach, I'm facilitating. I want you to reflect on a time that someone abused your trust. Someone you had trust or you had faith in. I mean, serious faith and serious trust. And that person disappointed you. I want to get a pen. We're going to a marker. We're going to write down. So now, just very quick, I want you just to share just some of your emotions, some of your feelings. Just very brief. You know, one or two short words. Someone, reflect now. Someone who you had faith in, who you trusted, and they disappointed you. They broke your trust. You lost faith in them based on something that happened. I want you to share with us, what did this do to you? How did you feel? What was your emotional experience? What was your psychological, what was your philosophical experience that this happened? Okay? Somebody you trusted and they broke your trust. Where did it leave you? How did you feel? Yes, okay? Okay, let's put it. Hypocrite. Felt disturbed. This person is a hypocrite. Yes.
Shock.
Two. Shock. Causes your own self-esteem, you know, to go down. Empty. You're going to have four arms to write here fast enough. Yes. Yes. Do not want to forgive. Lack of forgiveness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Cheated. It's okay. Since these are just one word, I don't think we need the mic. They'll just have to speak loud. Yes.
Abandoned.
Just write it down. One more. Abandoned. Abandoned. Okay. Yes. Tape it up. A few more. Yes. Abandoned. Yes.
Selfish.
And we're talking about real events now, okay? We're talking philosophy, but we're talking about things for transformation. How did you feel? Okay? Okay? More dependence on Krishna. Okay. But angry and lack of trust in all people. Okay. Maharaj? Felt foolish. Foolish for trusting.
Okay. Let's put these up.
Okay, we can go on and on, but we're moving pretty fast. But let us look at
what we have so far.
Oh, here's more paper. Let's take a few more then.
Sad.
Yes.
Rejection.
Yes. Okay, felt like she'd been devastated, betrayed and killed. I have a course on forgiveness that I gave in Mayapur.
6-day course.
These are heavy moves. Some of you, I think, should get that tape if you can. Let's look at this real quick. Now, someone who helped you to feel valued, feel cared for, someone who you trusted, someone who you depended upon, someone who you felt was in your corner, someone who you needed their support. This is what happened when you lost trust or lost faith based on something that happened. You felt abandoned. You felt selfish. You felt now more dependent on Krishna, less dependent on other people. You felt anger. You lost trust. You felt this person is a hypocrite. You were shocked. Caused you to have low self-esteem. You felt empty. You felt lack of forgiveness. You wanted to have revenge on that person. You felt foolish. You felt sad. You felt rejected. You felt betrayed, and you felt guilty. So this is what happens when someone who we have seemingly a positive connection with, and it turns sour on us. This is also what happens when we cause someone to lose trust in us. This is what happens when we cause someone to lose faith in us. We cause someone to feel abandoned. We cause somebody to feel angry. We cause someone to go into shock. We cause someone to see us as a hypocrite. We cause individuals to have low self-esteem, to feel empty, to feel rejected, to feel foolish, to feel sad, to feel betrayed. And we know that we make mistakes. Other people also make mistakes. We also understand. And when we make a mistake, we want to be forgiven. And we forgive because we want to be forgiven. We also know that just as somebody has hurt us in some ways, that we have also been on the other side and we've hurt others. Now we want you to take this reflection. We want you to look at a time when you were not trustworthy. And someone or some people who had trust in you lost it. How did you feel? How did you feel when someone was in your association who previously had faith in you and trusted you, but something that you did, either consciously or unconsciously, you broke that bond of trust? How did you personally feel? Yes. Okay, felt shame. Selfish. Guilty. Lost. Remorseful. Uncaring. In the back, yes.
Useless.
Okay. Inconsiderate. You felt like it in yourself,
okay? Person, a cheater.
Okay, way in the back. Is it Yamaraj?
Manipulated.
But I think you see the point here. Is that when someone disappoints us, we feel like less of a person in so many ways. We get paralyzed. We feel empty. We feel low self-esteem. We may even become excessive. Lose faith in all kinds of people and all kinds of situations. When we have this happen to us, we also begin to experience so much lack of wholeness. We feel shameful. We feel selfish. We feel guilty. We feel remorseful. We feel uncared for. Community is as powerful as individuals are. When individuals are feeling dysfunctional, individuals are too wounded, it's like if we're too wounded, it's hard to bring about healing to others. If we're wounding others, it's hard to bring about a healthy institution. Let us share now. What are some of the things that happen when two people are associating, maybe in the same project, let's make it like this, in the same project, have the same guru, have the same service. They don't trust each other. They don't have faith in each other. They don't even like each other. What are some of the negative things that can come from this? Yes. Lack of communication. Envy. Poor performance service. Unhealthy competition. Sometimes people sabotage each other. Yes. Pushy? Another word for that. Arrogance? Pushy? Pushy. Just use her word. Pushy. Pushy. I learned a new word today. Yes. Jealousy. Hatred. Lack of harmony. One or two more. Yes. Yes, a little trouble. Now, this is very obvious. Although it is elusive and it evades us. Every day, in every one of our projects, we have this stuff going on. Every day, in some way in our projects, put this up. We can see it. And that's all we're going to write. We have where people are associating same project, same Krishna, same institution, and this stuff is going on. Like the example of Prabhupada saying, when the two sons are massaging the father, they're arguing, they're fighting, they're punching the father. Lack of communication, you don't trust someone, then it brings speculation. When someone is saying something or doing something, the mind is going, what does she really mean? What is his ulterior motive? Something is being presented, is not being fully accepted because you don't trust that person. You don't have faith in that person. Cannot have serious productivity in a low trust culture. In a low trust culture, people speculate because they're not sure what is really going on. They interpolate. They attack because they may feel that they are being attacked, even when they're not. They are sometimes paralyzed to do what they can do because they're not sure how people are going to receive it or what people are going to do or what they're going to think. It causes them sometimes to do what? To have envy, which is our original disease. It causes them to have poor service, to be that at the end of the day, we're giving Prabhupada's mission less quality service. It brings unhealthy competition that can cause, again, disturbance to another person's service, pushy, jealousy, hatred, lack of harmony. And sometimes it can be so gross that someone can do something, blame it on the other servant. Two people serving, same product, same guru. One person wants the other one out. They do something. So that person gets embarrassed, gets chastised. Some people, two persons are arguing. They're having a situation they don't trust. And therefore, something that they could both work on in a synergistic way that helps them, help the institution better. They do not compliment each other because they don't want to go there. They don't really feel that they really want to accept and honor this person's full presence. Every single day, we have this going on that has its way of bringing stagnation to our institution, causes us to minimize creativity, causes us to even to make apparatus and offenses because we don't trust that person, we don't have faith in that person. And there may be genuine reasons also, because faith has a lot to do with previous experiences. Faith has a lot to do with what has happened in the past and what is going on in the present. So that means, in one sense, real Dridha Vrataha, determined faith, is very, very difficult when things of the past have been full of disturbances, when things in the present are full of incoherence. It is hard to have faith because faith is looking at the future. It's anticipation of the future. So one has to work overtime, extra effort, in trying to be faithful about something of the future when too many things in the past and present have been things that have caused this kind of pain, or things that have caused one to not to be comfortable in being able to have faith. And sometimes those things cause us to have less faith in Krishna. As we have more and more reason to have faith in sadhu, then that naturally grates over to faith in Krishna for most people. Most people, we're all very, very social, we're social entities. And so we're so much influenced by what is happening in our environment. We're all influenced by the quality of our sangha. So that means, if I become faithless, or if I become deviant in bringing mercy, then that faith is contagious. As we have more and more people in our society who have genuinely higher taste, then we will check so much of the maya, the infantry. And as we have more cases of people having weak faith due to either being lazy, not sufficiently studying the shastra to see what is there that gives us the answers, engaging in unhealthy association, but we engage in the process, but we're having different kinds of apparatus and weeds, but it's lacking compassion. We're not ready to work on ourselves. He said, Bodhisattva mentions about the 100 people get liberated by that pure devotee. And he says about 14 generations get elevated by a Madhyama Adhikari, and 7 generations by a Kanishtha Adhikari. So that means every single one of us are empowered to make massive differences with those who are connected with us karmically and in the world. And every single one of us together have tremendous potency to bring about transformation, but that's hard without sufficient faith. I want you to
have a
diet where you share amongst yourself now. We've been doing it open. We want you to reflect on the time that you felt most Krishna conscious. It's now, maybe it's 2 years ago. I want you just to reflect back, look at your career in Krishna consciousness, and I want you to just to turn to a partner. Everybody just turn to someone in the diet, a one-on-one. And you just share with that person a time you felt most Krishna conscious, and just you share very briefly what was going on for you. What was the scene? What was happening? What were you doing? Alright? So we take 2 minutes to do this. You share the time that you felt most Krishna conscious. What was happening to you during that time? Haribol. But now we're going to do the opposite. I want you to share with your partner a time that you felt less Krishna conscious. A real low ebb. Huh? You just summarize very briefly what was going on. What was happening. The time you felt less Krishna conscious. All right?
Yeah. You share like that. Share with both people. Hare Krishna.
Wind your conversation up. Okay, so I'm sorry we're having to move, you know, so fast. But some of these things we should give more time to, but our time is moving. I want to read something from Anchit Leela, 1649. Teguna lala prabho tave tushtaha ila anyera dulava prasada dharika avila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most exalted, omniscient, supreme personality of Godhead. And therefore he knew that Kalidas, in the core of his heart, had full faith in Vaishnava. Translation of what I just read. Because of this quality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu satisfied him with mercy not attainable by anyone else. It's very important to have faith in Vaishnava. It's very important to have faith in sadhus. But it's very important to be a sadhu so one can have faith. That we want to recognize what are the qualities of a sadhu, so we can then repose our affection, time, and service. We want to be sadhus, so that we can be able to be the servant of the servant. Daso daso no das daso dasmi. Our greatest way is that we serve others by bringing a better ourself into the environment. Greatest way we can serve each other is that we bring a better ourself. Greatest way we can honor mission of Srila Prabhupada, honor Srila Prabhupada himself. Now, we don't have time, but briefly, what most of you noticed is that the time that you were feeling most Krishna conscious, the time when your faith was stronger, you had association that you felt you were more supportive, you were more austere, you had better, your sadhana was better, you were chanting more seriously, you were reading more scrutinizingly, you were associating more with devotees, like in gatherings like this, you know, in the festival, you were engaged more in stronger vandanam, praying more to Prabhupada, and to the deity. So we'll see so many wonderful things, how we were honoring the limbs of bhakti. That shows us that it works. We get a certain kind of reciprocation. That Krishna is saying as we surrender, he rewards us accordingly. That he carries, maintains what we have and carries what we lack. That is real. We take the converse, opposite of that. We look at the time that we felt less Krishna conscious. Time we're in dispute, in argument with someone, somebody making aparad toward us or we toward them. Time that we're engaged in Vaishnava aparad, Seva aparad, Dham aparad, Nam aparad, Guru aparad. We were less Krishna conscious, feeling less Krishna conscious. When someone who we had great trust in, great faith, abused or disappointed our trust, putting less Krishna conscious at a time when we were the object of causing someone else to have less trust. We broke our commitments. We didn't follow through on our vows. We didn't follow through on our support of being a servant of that person. They lost faith in us, turned, and we felt very bad. Or we're in an environment when this stuff was going on, serving with someone who didn't trust us or we didn't trust them, and it created a hellish environment. It's already difficult enough for any of us in trying to follow the four rules and regulations in Kali Yuga. And we make that even more difficult by having an environment where there isn't healthier trust culture. Where we can be able to say what we feel and mean what we say. It's important that if I'm having trouble with my body, with my mind, It's important that if I'm losing faith in this issue or that issue, it's important if I'm bewildered that I can say, Prabhu, I'm painting. It's important for you to be able to say to certain devotees in your circle, Prabhu, I feel like I'm diving into a dark well of confusion. Prabhu, I'm chanting my rounds, but in 3 months, I feel like the rounds are ahead of me and I'm not catching them. We all have that experience, right? The chanting is going on, but it's out there and we're back here somewhere. Sometimes we catch up halfway through our japa, sometimes the whole japa goes and we never caught up. It's important that if I'm having trouble with other sannyasis, it's important you're having trouble with your wife, your husband, that there's some devotees in your circle that you can say, Prabhu, we need mediation. Prabhu, we need some help. Prabhu, we need some advice. But that cannot and will not be done so much when there's low trust. That cannot be done so extensively when we have too many experiences, but we've tried to reveal ourselves just to be hurt more by the person who we turn to for help. We can't do this on our own. We must have associations and arrangements where we can reinforce, support, and protect each other. And so it's so essential that we have a higher culture of trust and faith in sadhus as well as in Krishna, because they actually go together. And we're not, I suffer in silence. And we're not where I could have been helped or could have been checked from some greater problem. It doesn't happen because I have no one I feel I can really turn to who I feel is there, who cares about me. Do we realize how many devotees every year committing suicide? Every single year we have some devotees committing suicide. We don't hear about it so much because they're more than, most times they're on the fringe, where they feel like they are a material and a spiritual failure. We'd be shocked to know how many devotees, how many of you probably sitting here are taking medication for depression. Depression often means, and suicide always means, that that person didn't feel that they had enough trust in anyone that they could confide in and live on, because that person loved them and they loved that person enough to live on. Even when you feel a failure in your own life, you feel that somebody is that much there for you that you live on for them. It means one is painting so much with what is going on that they're thinking, I can't go another day with the pain that I'm having now. I can't think of another day in the future having the same kind of pain. And they have Vaishnavas who have the highest knowledge, the greatest medicine for dealing with all aspects of our existence, and to be suffering so much in our communities, suffering so much in their lives, and even to the point of committing suicide. Has to do a lot with lack of faith and trust in sadhus that has unfortunately graded into a lack of trust sometimes in guru and in Krishna. Because we don't commit suicide, we have stronger trust in Krishna, then we understand that what is going on is for some level of our growth, for our edification, for our purification, for our development. But it's hard when I'm trying to go on, or someone's trying to go on, and they're painting, and they're looking out, and they're not seeing or having a support system that helps them to go through that pain. We all have to engage in our own battle of cruel cetera. Every one of us have our own specific battle of cruel cetera. Our Bhagavad Gita is our number one book. We have to be clear that we don't minimize the fact that Arjuna is representing everyone under the most difficult situations, even families, that Krishna is there But Krishna is telling Arjuna, Tejasi Tathagata, you hear, you act. Krishna's not doing it for him. That we have to, even though Krishna and Prabhupada are there, we still have to undergo our specific battles of Kurukshetra. Just like Krishna arranged for each of us specific arrangements for us to join, he's arranging specific things. We feel we could be a better devotee if we had money. Could be a better devotee if we had a husband who wasn't a bum. We had a wife who wasn't such a nag. We had children who were just a little bit more respectful. But that is your battle of Kurukshetra. Those are the arrangements that are there for each person's acceleration. The kind of difficulties we have, not by accident. So as we look what helps us be more Krishna conscious, we want to see how to do more of that. So we have more extensive happy Krishna consciousness. And the things that cause us to go down, we want to avoid that. Two more things, so I can be timely. I want to send somebody outside who will not hear what I'm saying for the next 30 seconds. Can I have a volunteer? Okay, in the back of the room? The house, okay, can you go outside? And just go. What you do is just walk away just for only for a minute. And put your hands in your ears because you'll probably hear the microphone. If you hear what I'm saying, it destroys the whole thing that we're doing. Now, I'm gonna bring him in about a minute. And I want us to all experiment something. Can you hear, Prabhu? Okay, hopefully you can hear. I'm gonna do a little demonstration to show the power of how we affect each other. Not only by our actions, but even by our thoughts. When he comes in, we're going to do two different activities. First activity, I want you, and we'll ask forgiveness from him later. I'm going to bring him up in the front, and I want each of you to just think negative thoughts about him. That you don't trust this person, you don't like this person. You just think negative. Reminds you of a big enemy you have. He, you don't like his face. Don't like the way he's put his dhoti. You just think negative thoughts. And then we're going to do something. Then when I say we're going to shift to our second way of thinking, then I want you to think very nice thoughts. You trust this person. He's a devotee. He's given his life to Krishna consciousness. He's undergoing his own battle, etc. How much you want to send him happiness. And you just literally send him good thoughts and you send him love. Okay? We're going to do what's called a muscle test, where we test energy within the body. We're going to show you how when you think negative of somebody, we drain them and we disempower them. Now when we think positive, we empower them. Even in an unconscious way. Nuzma, you can tell him to come. So, Sati Maharaj, can you help me with this activity? Do you mind? Just come. You're a very truthful person, so I need your help. You come on the stage. Just come, try to run, okay? Our time is running. Prabhu, you run up. So, what I'm going to ask him to do is to hold his arm out like this and try to hold it. Listen as I'm telling him. I want you to try to hold your arm just stiff. Okay? And while you're holding your arm, I want you just to, just to close your eyes. And don't think any... Yeah, you come up here. You can think about anything that you want to think about. All right, doesn't matter. But I just want you to hold your arm up. And now, while you hold your arm up like that, I'm going to ask Chandramali Swami to take both of his hands and just to try to bring your arm down, to your waist. In other words, he's just going to try to take it down like that. Okay? Now, what you're going to do is just try to hold it straight. So you're just going to try, if possible, to resist. You're going to hold it like that. And then Maharaj is going to just try to bring it down. Okay? No, it's okay. Okay? Now, okay, this is mind culture one. Okay? What you all do, you do all the exercise. All right? Mind culture one. All right? Now you just close your eyes. Okay? You just be ourselves for a while. All right? You're in good hands. This is family. Okay? Okay, everyone else's eyes is open, but only his eyes is closed. Okay? So I want you to try, both families, I want you to try hard. Okay? You take both of your hands. Okay? And you just try to, and you just push it at his waist. Okay, go. Okay? All right? So everybody saw. See the movement. All right? Now, mind culture two. All right? Mind culture two. All right? They're just doing something interesting here, okay? We'll tell you later. We'll tell you later. All you do is you just try to hold that hand up like that and resist as best as you can. Same thing. Okay? Maharaj is going to try to put it down. You just hold it up. Okay? You close your eyes. Okay? Okay, Maharaj, you do the same thing now. Try to put it down. Okay, now, what did you notice from one and two?
The first one was easier. The first one was a lot easier.
Now here's the same two people. Same strength. But now, the first, you forgive us. First time, Master Devotee is... I'm talking about appreciating Vaishnavas. I'm going to give the Vaishnava for us. I asked all these wonderful Vaishnavas out there. The first experiment, to just think about you. They don't trust you, don't have faith in you, they think negative things.
Wow.
So, without you even knowing it, that the thoughts that they were projecting towards you weakened your energy supply. And so Maharaj was able to push your hand down a lot easier. Then the second time, now you didn't even know, the second time we asked them to think loving thoughts. So, you know, that was the last thing. So they were rectifying the negative thoughts. Think about you in a healthy way. And then, without you knowing it, Maharaj trying to push your hand down, it was much more difficult. He's a truthful man.
Despite the fact that I was actually sore the second time.
Yes.
Because I've been breaking. It was actually harder the second time, and I thought, he's just going to push me over. Because I was really resisting hard the first time, so it was sore.
So even though the first time he had more strength, because his hand hadn't gone through that exercise, the pressure. Second time, we see the difference. So, thank you both very much. So, you see the point, is that when we have a low trust culture, we make aparads, we get miscommunication because we're not sure the person really meant what they said. We're afraid to express our wound, our pain, to be helped sometimes because we're not sure that persons are there or whether they'll take it and use it, you know, in a negative way. That, and as in our immune, as our energy, so it gets affected, it brings on physical sickness. That means it's like our spiritual as well as physical immunity. It's so much responsible. Or it gets helped by how we're thinking about each other. And what to say about how we are associating with each other. So we have so much good ways how we can help another devotee by the quality of our association and the quality of our thoughts. We have many ways how we weaken each other by the quality of our thoughts. And what to say of this envious thoughts of anger. It's like you're just taking a rope and you're throwing it at that particular person. And as Vaishnava, you're supposed to be constantly trying to see how to serve each other. Here's our one or two last things we want to do. Now we're going to get much more serious. That was serious also. Very serious, actually. I want you all to think of a time that you felt abandoned by Krishna. Just to later realize that most difficult situation or experience that Krishna had brought into your life was really the categorical opposite. Krishna was arranging
facilitating, giving him special mercy. Now, of course, while it's happening, we don't feel that way. But as you look back in retrospect, I want you to think of a time that you literally felt abandoned by Krishna. You know, at times, we not only feel lack of trust in sadhus, even in our gurus, even our authorities sometimes, but there are times that we even feel as if Krishna somehow is not sensitive to our pain, to our struggle, to our dilemma, and we feel like he's not there. Now I'm going to share one quick one, and then I want to have a few of you to share. In the last day before Prabhupada left the planet, I was in Romania. And in those days, the communist country was very strong, the communist bloc. And so we were going all out of our way trying to serve, you know, mission of Prabhupada. We would not have proper food most of the time. We're not sleeping sometimes. And Hari Balas know that we had accidents. I ruined his car one of the times in one of those countries. Please forgive me. I don't drive anymore. It's one of the reasons also. But there were times when we had to drive like 14, 12 hours, you know, in the night to get to our next place so we would not be seen. We get to the university and to also to get to certain places before, you know, the schedule was over, the close of the other university. So to make a long story short, in this country, in Romania, I had a translator who couldn't drive. So I was driving day after day, 10 hours, 12 hours. Now we finished one school and we had to get out of the country because our visas had expired. So we had to get out of the country before daybreak, or they may have investigated us and made inquiries. We may have been in trouble because of what we were doing. So I had to drive all the way, you know, through the night. And after about 13 hours, I was literally going from one side of the road to the next. And in those days, I used to sleep 4 hours a night, which was foolish. And so, I had a problem. So one lady was coming on a bicycle, and I was driving like that. She didn't have any lights or signals, and so I ran into her. Now what happened? I got arrested, I got in prison, and it was hell. I wrote to Hari Keshe, who was our authority then, that, you know, I'm in prison, and, you know, it's like a great problem. I mean, you may not see me again. And he says, there's nothing I can do. Prabhupada has called us all to Vrindavan. Prabhupada looks like he's going to leave his body. That I'm sorry. Contact the embassy. And the person was with me, tell them to contact the American embassy, whatever. Anyway, we had done all of that, and they couldn't do anything. So what they wanted was money. As an American, they had some idea of some kind of institution, and so they wanted big, big money. I think it was like $400,000. They were trying to convince me that the lady was going to die, and I was going to die also if I didn't get $400,000. So, anyway, it got to a point where I had tried three times. I tried to escape. I had elaborate plans, and each time, and if I ever have time in the future, I'll tell you about it. But I got caught every time. Just as I was just about free, I got caught. And then it got so bad that the person was with me, they left me, and I was just there. With no communication, feeling that the authorities had denied me, left me, you know, there for the sharks. And also feeling that Krishna and Prabhupada just left me to be put in prison for the rest of my life. Or to be tortured. So, then something happened that I found out that, and I was thinking this way at one point. And then something happened where I saw that they were spying on me the whole time. So, again, to make a long story short, I tricked them. I gave them misinformation. I had them somehow to believe that ISKCON, Bhaktivedanta Trust, was an organization, you know, Ministry of Orphans. We had no big money. We were very poor. And that I was an orphan. And that I just had $4,000 left that I had, you know, hidden. And so, anyway, they rushed me to court after a month, told me that they're billing me for $4,000 if I didn't get out of the country in 12 hours, said that no one would, you know, would ever see me again. No, what happened in that during that time is because I was by myself, I was just eating cabbage, you know, sometimes I'd get apple, and just having to really process Krishna's protection, Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. At one point I was put in abandoned. I did this in trying to serve Prabhupada, and now my life is going to be finished. And where's Krishna's mercy? I mean, all these sacrifices, and it's all ending up in that, you know, people are going to just hear somehow later that they, you know, I'm in jail, you know, for life. Or that I was killed, whatever. So, but later I realized how I grew from that experience. Because only short reflection that I have of feeling abandoned, and I just considered, if this happened in Prabhupada's service, then there's something that's beneficial about it. And so let me just go more internal in such ways and try to be more appreciative that I had a chance to do this service on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. So here is the case I felt abandoned, but later realized it was special mercy, special chance for purification. Okay? Now let's have a few people to share. The time, we're all family, so be honest. The time you felt abandoned, even by Krishna, but later just to see that it was the opposite. What about Gurukula kids? Okay. Yes. Who wants to go next? So we have the mic available for you. So again, everyone's participating. When somebody's sharing, you listen to it, try to understand what it meant for them, and try to relate it to your own life so that we get maximum value, you know, of the sharing experience. Hold the mic a little closer. Here's one of our Gurukula kids. We had a very awesome life, very complicated life, abuses and so many different things. And in spite of that, so many challenges that she's seen in institutions, in her own family, you know, even with her father who supposedly protecting her, abused her, so many different things. At the same time, she's realizing that Krishna is there. And so we can accept that, especially if we do have certain situations in sadhus who are not being proper sadhus, but if we can somehow reach out and there are sadhus, it's a really, by the mercy of Radhanam Swami, he's helped her in so many ways. Okay, next. Summarize, because we've got about 3 or 4 minutes and I have to stop. We got about 4 or 5 minutes and we got to stop. No, you haven't taken the microphone. So we're going to take 2 more people, summarize very quick, and we have to, so you'll have a half an hour break. Okay?
America, not being allowed to come back to my service in
So we have to stop. I'm just going to do a 2-minute summary. So what we looked at is about faith. Faith and trust in Vaishnava as well as in Krishna. We examined how we first came into Krishna consciousness. You see that Krishna made a special arrangement. That same Krishna giving us special challenges and making arrangements to bring each of us back, you know, if we allow it. We all have our own battles, fields of Kurukshetra. We have to expect that. Part of the process. We see what happens when someone abuses our trust and faith, what it does to us. We can also understand what we do to others when, you know, we are not trustworthy. We should try to be that change that we expect to see within others. We saw what happens when we have improper thoughts. We know what happens when we have improper activities in our associations. We literally disempower someone else. As we are thinking, devotionally, loving, our actions will help, and our thoughts will protect that particular person. We looked at last at times we felt even abandoned by Krishna. Hopefully every one of you were looking at your own example of when this has happened to you. We said our Krishna consciousness does become more difficult, but not necessarily harder. I want to end with just Prabhupada's, I'm going to do it in half a minute. Prabhupada's, his prayer on the boat that shows us the kind of faith that we need to have as we are his children, his grandchildren. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life. Be there with Prabhupada on the boat. Let's be there right now. They think themselves very happy and unsatisfied and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know that your cause is mercy can make everything possible. Because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy so I will be able to convince them, you see, about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I'm powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it's up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make me powerful or speak suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Then he concludes, O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. We are representing Prabhupada. We all want to be puppets in Prabhupada's hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. This is Prabhupada's prayer for all of us, letting us understand the need for a strong faith and letting Krishna use us as his puppet. Let us all pray to be more of a puppet at this time. We're all very needy. We need protection. We need strong examples to help us as we go on in our devotional life. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sorry, I was 5 minutes late.